We're talking with Doug Herlinger, located in Philadelphia. He completed a work last year called Dear Philadelphia. It's a 10-part suite of music, and it's really quite unique and something wonderful. Doug, thanks for talking with us today.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
What can you tell us about Dear Philadelphia? Where did it come from?
It evolved partially from me having, I didn't grow up here, but I lived here for quite a while. I moved here from New York. And after about 10 years, my wife and I and our small child, we moved back to New York for a few years. And then we came back to Philly about 4 years ago. And I just noticed right away how much the city had changed since we lived here the first time. And I was just kind of, blown away by that and thinking about it a lot. And then this opportunity presented itself at the Kimmel Center to write a piece. And I knew I wanted it to have something to do with all the change that I'd seen since being back. And from there, I asked four incredible artists to collaborate with me. That would be poet Ursula Rucker, singer-songwriter Imbalia Singley, musician-composer Tim Motzer, and also John Swana. And from there, the piece developed through conversations that I had with Ursula individually, with Imbalia individually, and with John and Tim together. And eventually, the piece came together that way.
Were they on board from the very beginning? When you they're very different musicians and creative types from different backgrounds. Were they all on board, and how much input did they actually have?
Yeah, they were all definitely on board and into it from the beginning. And I really wanted them to have unlimited freedom in their input. So it was, I didn't do any, controlling or coaching or anything. I wanted, because each one of them really has a unique and really strong talent. And I just wanted those elements. I thought of it kind of like building something or putting a painting together or something. And I just wanted these different elements together and just see what came.
There's a piece called Crack It Open, and I guess that's Ursula Rucker's words and all of that, right?
Yeah.
Tell me about that piece and how that one came together.
How it came together, I guess I just, it's funny because after we had our initial conversations about the city and what we wanted to focus on, I was kind of waiting for Ursula to give me some inspiration, and she was kind of waiting for me to give her some inspiration. So I remember she wanted to hear, give me something to listen to. And I kind of was on the other side, give me a few words so I can conjure something up. So in the end, I don't even remember how I came up with what I came up with. But basically, I created a pad of tones that are all an equal distance apart from each other. So they're all a perfect fourth apart from each other. It creates a particular sound, and it doesn't really go anywhere harmonically. It's just this bed for her to kind of create on top of. And the piece, I don't want to say too much about the meaning of her words, but it's kind of an offering to folks to just get to know themselves deeply and go deep within and to become authentic people. Individually, my daughter, I have two daughters, and they love that piece. They came to all the performances, and they were drawing pictures of Ursula saying, "Crack it open," and they're repeating her lines and stuff. So I think it really hit a lot of people. It's a beautiful piece, and her words are really touching.
It is. And I love that line about the safety not being safe. What was the audience reaction to this? You performed it how many, just a couple of times, or?
We did three performances and two workshops, one of which was public. And we're going to be doing it again now at the Barnes Foundation, which is a great museum here in Philadelphia. going to be doing it in February. But the reaction was great. You know, one thing I really wanted to do and was kind of in the language of the proposal between myself and the Kimmel Center was I wanted to kind of push the boundaries of, you know, what people consider to be jazz. And I think in Philly, what people consider to be jazz, the goalposts are a little closer together than some other places. So I did want to push the limits. And, you know, there were some diehard jazz fans that came, and especially John Swanna, who was on the project and did a lot of electronics. He's an incredible, just straight ahead, you know, trumpet player and kind of a legend here in town. So his name was on it. I'm sure some people showed up expecting to hear him play, you know, more of a traditional type of playing. But overall, the reaction was great. We had great attendance. We had in our public workshop, we had passed the mic around the room, in-depth discussions about the music and the content. And I thought the reaction was great.
That's really interesting that you have this direct audience input in some instances. Did the discussion of gentrification come up? Because, I mean, it seems you're alluding to that when you left and then came back. I know there are several areas of Philadelphia where that's a big issue.
Yeah, no, it did come up. And that's probably, in terms of content, that's probably the biggest topic of the piece in general. I mean, not every single movement focuses on that or touches on that. But that was definitely one of the big issues that we ended up focusing on. It wasn't really my intention necessarily to do that, but it is a big issue here. And I think, you know, mostly the public doesn't really stand the negative implications of gentrification. So we kind of, you know, we dug into that pretty deep. And I, you know, I definitely learned a lot from the experience.
What did you learn?
You know, as much as we, maybe as homeowners or, you know, people who can't afford to live in the trendiest neighborhoods with the trendiest amenities, as much as we kind of look forward to having that opportunity, maybe the trendy cafes and bars or whatever other businesses, you know, come to quote unquote upcoming neighborhoods, as much as we might look forward to those things, you know, there's another side of the coin where people are being displaced or feeling alienated or getting pushed out of their communities, or communities are broken apart. You know, it's kind of an inconvenient truth that people don't really want to think about when they think about how cities change. They only think of it as an improvement or an update, but there's another side to it.
What is Philadelphia like right now for you as a jazz scene? How do you feel about it?
Having said what we were just talking about, I do think that it's exciting to see what's going to happen here. You know, I'm not really sure. Like, the scene is, I feel like it's getting bigger. There's a lot of great young players here, and they're all trying to make stuff happen. You know, when I was here the first time, there was this legendary venue called Ortlieb's, and that was where I spent most of my time and did a lot of playing there, and kind of that was like the center of my playing existence the first time I lived here. It closed for good about the time I left. So there's been a shift, you know, in like where's the new center of that scene going to be, or, you know, there's more than one scene. So everyone was kind of looking for, you know, what's going to be our new Ortlieb's, or, I mean, nothing can really take the place of that place, but there's been some new venues opened. And some of them have, you know, an authentic feeling to them in terms of where musicians congregate after they're done playing, go hang and sit in. And there's just a lot of great players here. So it's fun to be here.
So you've got the performance of Dear Philadelphia coming up at the Barnes Foundation in February. What after that, what do you have in 2019 that you're looking at?
I'm going to try to record a lot of music of my own this year. I you know, I do a lot of playing other people's music, recording other people's music, and you know, I enjoy that, but I feel like it's something I keep putting off, actually investing the time and resources into recording then and getting projects off the ground. So that's one thing I'm really trying to do this coming year is and then also pinpoint exactly which projects that I have in mind, which ones I'm going to focus on, because I have a few different things that I would like to do, but you know, I can't do them all at the same time. So
yeah, Steve Jobs, I believe, once said something about one of the things he was most proud of is how many good ideas he decided not to do.
Yeah.
You know, which allowed him to focus on other ones.
Totally. And, you know, something else someone said to me is like the difference between a professional and an amateur is that a professional knows how to finish a project, you know, wrap a project up and be done with it. In terms of, you know, if it's a recording or some other project that or item that that has to be completed. Obviously, you want the project to continue and play other places, but if it's a composition or a recording, you know, you got to have that ability to wrap it up and get it done and not procrastinate.
I can relate to that on a number of levels.
Yeah.
Well, great. It's been great to talk to you, Doug, and we look forward to whatever it is you're recording. Are you going to integrate all the, you know, the concept of sound, not just percussion, and I know you use laptops and things like that in your recordings?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, I just got a text. I'm gonna keep down the road of the electronics and whatnot, but I do want to have a totally acoustic project that I can also focus on, especially on a kind of a local regional level. I think the Dear Philadelphia and some of the other stuff I have going on that involve electronics, I'm psyched about them, but you know, they don't fit necessarily in a lot of spaces and venues just in the area. So, and I would love to write more for acoustic instruments. So I think this year I'm going to try to, you know, make up my mind what the instrumentation is going to be and go down that road.
Well, Doug Herlinger, thanks so much for talking with us on Improvisations.
Thanks, Todd. I appreciate it.